Gospel of John. Today's passage is taken from John chapter 16, verse 25 to 33. Let me read to you John chapter 16, verse 25 to 33. 看华语的你们可以看 PowerPoint. Let me read to you. Jesus said, "Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father in your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and believe that I come from God. I come from the Father. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father." Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and you do not need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." Then in a sarcastic tone, just understand this. "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home, and you will leave me all alone. Yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we pray for your Spirit to be with us. For it is your Spirit that changes our heart of stone into a heart of flesh, that we are willing to listen to you, willing to obey, and willing to be a witness to your word. And all this we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, peace be with you. Try this again. You reply, "and also with you." Brothers and sisters, peace be with you. And in today's passage, Jesus already spelled out clearly why he was saying these things, why he was saying what he has just said. He says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Now, I think that this divine promise of peace is truly one that will bring great comfort to the world, especially in the midst of a pandemic, and even we know the possibility of a nuclear war. I'm sure many of us, we pray and wish that there will be indeed peace on earth and comfort to those who are suffering. Now, the question we have to ask today is this: how do we receive this peace, this promise of Jesus? How do we receive this comfort by purely the words of Jesus, that just because Jesus tells us these things, we may have peace? How? Isn't this just words of Jesus? What can mere words do? Maybe I can just go to Russia, maybe I can go to Ukraine with these words of Jesus, this gospel, and then I will bring about world peace? I suspect that will be overly optimistic. Not because I do not have faith. No, not because I do not have faith. But let us be clear. Jesus has never promised that our ministry will be triumphant, will be smooth sailing. No. In fact, just the chapter before this, Jesus said, "Remember what I tell you. A servant is not greater than his master." A servant is not greater than his master. And we know what Jesus went through. We know what our master will go through. Therefore, in actualizing these divine promises, how these promises of peace will come about, we who are the servants need to revisit what the master has just said. What did Jesus mean? And in the process, we'll realize that these words, these things that Jesus is telling us, these words, they are not mere words, but words that will bring us to the Father's world. And in this, I realize that there is a great similarity between Jesus' efforts in teaching his disciples teaching, telling them these words, there's a great similarity between what he's doing and my own teaching at the children ministry. Many of us will know that I teach half the time, in fact, very regularly at the children ministry. What is this similarity? That we both face the same challenge of bridging between two worlds. This is the big challenge. How do you bridge between two worlds? When it comes to the children, our main challenge at the children ministry is to bring them from their modern world into the biblical world, especially into the world of the story of Mark. The gospel is, as we all know, the gospel is a story that is based in ancient Israel, and by that alone, it is so culturally different from the children's world in modern Singapore. How do you bridge them from their world to the Bible's world, to the story of Mark? So, and we know that unless the children can immerse themselves into the world, unless they can see who they are in that world, it will not be possible for them to appreciate the message, to understand the gospel, to understand Jesus. And I would say that that is the biggest challenge in our teaching. So all our co-workers at the children ministry, we work very hard to build this bridge. We use drama, storytelling, pictures, lots of stuff, especially during the children camp. What we hope to do is that we hope that the children upon graduation will be so familiar with the biblical world that they can transverse both worlds, between their world to the biblical world, to the gospel world, and back and forth, that they can do so easily. And this challenge is very similar to what Jesus has been trying to do with his apostles. For Jesus, his aim is to bridge the apostles' world into his Father's world, the world of the Heavenly Father, to get them to look at earthly realities in light of heavenly realities, to look at present realities in light of what God is intending to do at that time. Even though the apostles were adults, they are not, you know, children in our children ministry, but in terms of knowing Jesus, in terms of knowing the world where Jesus is from, the Father's world, they are just spiritual infants. And this is what makes this bridging process an immense challenge. And this is why in today's passage, the apostles and Jesus, they are talking about, you know, how Jesus has been teaching them. This is the crux of the matter. That Jesus has been speaking to them figuratively, but Jesus tells them, one day I will no longer speak to you figuratively, one day I will speak to you clearly, one day I will speak to you plainly. In Mark chapter 4, in Matthew chapter 13, we see how Jesus has been speaking figuratively about the kingdom of God in parables. That is what he meant by speaking figuratively, in parables. Now, I'm sure for many of us, the most familiar parables are, for example, parable of the sower or parable of the mustard seed. These are the two most familiar ones, but there are, of course, many, many more. Now, quoting his message about the Father's world, about the kingdom of God in parables, is necessary. We know part of the reason is due to religious and political dangers, all right? So you can't really talk about the kingdom without danger involved. So many times Jesus used parables. That was necessary. That was understandable. But more than that, why? Why did Jesus choose to do this in parables? Because in using the imageries of everyday, Jesus was trying to make it easier for them to understand. Because these imageries of everyday are things that they are familiar with. Of course, not to us, but things like sowing and reaping. This is the everyday life of the ancient Israelites. So they can understand. Shepherd, sheep, all these are familiar imageries they can understand. But maybe not to the modern Singaporeans. Okay. But however, in speaking figuratively, in parables, as imageries, they need to be decoded. And that's what Jesus did a lot of times, using this effort to explain these parables to the disciples. But very often, the gospel also tells us. that they do not understand. In Mark chapter 8, when Jesus was so frustrated, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Do you still not see? Do you still not understand? Are your hearts hardened?" Then Jesus said, "Do you have eyes but fail to see? Do you have ears but fail to hear?" Then Jesus said, "Do you not remember?" Basically, all the words, all the teachings. You can sense this frustration. Jesus said to them, "Do you still not understand?" In fact, in today's passage, even though they claim that they understand, but actually Jesus said, "Do you really now understand? Do you really believe?" No, they don't. Very often they don't. Only after resurrection do they begin to understand. Now, what makes this bridging process to share about the kingdom of God, to talk about the Father's world, so difficult? Why is it so difficult? Was it really cognitively difficult? No, it's not. The reason for misunderstanding, the fact that their eyes fail to see and their ears fail to hear, is very often because our personal concerns often override God's vision. That is the problem. Our personal concerns override God's vision. We cannot see, we cannot hear, because we do not want to see, we do not want to hear. In Jesus' time, the Pharisees were diluting the vision because they want a God who can set up the kingdom for the benefit of the Jews. So that, you know, this world, this kingdom of Jews, they can observe the law with great strictness, but not for the benefit of the wider community that Jesus had in mind, whether it's to the prostitutes and tax collectors or even to the Gentiles. They do not see it and they do not want it. For Herod and his entourage, who are diluting the vision, they want God to establish their royal family as the true kings of Israel. And we'll continue to visit this story as we get closer and closer to Good Friday. In the case of the apostles, they want glory. Yes, wow, glory. But all they want is personal glory, but without the glory of the cross. What about us? When do we fail to see and fail to hear and misunderstand? In our case, I would say that very often it's because we want love. Oh, God is love. Oh, Jesus is love. We want love. But yet, without personal sacrifice. Can there be love without sacrifice? In short, the reason why we cannot see and the reason why we cannot hear is because we only see what we want to see and we only hear what we want to hear. And this is why we cannot see and this is why we cannot hear. So how did Jesus overcome this hurdle? What did Jesus do to make the apostles understand that, no, these are not just mere words, but these are words imbued with the power to bring them to the Father's world? Now, this is the insight from the Gospel of John. Jesus himself is the Word. This is the key from the Gospel of John. Jesus is the Word. In John chapter 1, it tells us that in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Now, to me, this means that when you are able to see the light, when you are able to hear the word, the seeing and the hearing is essential to life itself. The word, this word, is the same word that brought forth the entire creation from the beginning of time. Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be life, and there was life. These are not just mere words, but words that can transform the world from one that is formless, empty, void, and full of darkness into one that is in order, lighted, and full of life. Abundance of life. Fulfilling life. These are not just mere words, but words that can transform, words that can create. But for the word, for words to be received, then we have to see, then we have to hear, And in order for others to receive this word, that as we have seen and as we have heard, if we do see and hear, for others to receive the word as we have seen and heard, then we have to speak. There is no other way. John chapter 1 tells us, yet to all who receive, those who are willing to see and to hear, to all who receive him, those who believe in his name, here's the promise. He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or husband will, but John tells us, but born of God, that we become the children of God. That is the power of the word. Not just mere words, the power of the word. And I can tell you clearly now, no longer figuratively, to tell you clearly now that this word can bring you to the Father's world. A bridge, a way, a truth that can bring you to the Father's world. Now let me be clear. Words. Let's talk about words. Words can be powerful ideas. So you might ask me, are you talking about an idea? Words can be powerful, like for example, scientific breakthroughs, you know, ideologies, maybe communism, capitalism. Words can be powerful ideas. But Jesus is more than just an idea. No. Jesus is a person. And persons, as spoken word, you know, a word that is embodied in a person, they can be powerful. Yes, they can come alive, even more powerful. And we see this, we know this. For example, Martin Luther King, he embodies this, you know, a living word that embodies racial harmony. Or we can say, for example, Mother Teresa, a living example of what is compassion, a living word. But Jesus goes even beyond that. Jesus is the divine word, a divine word from God to us. Beyond an idea, beyond a person, a living divine word from God to us. And eventually the apostles will come to see this when Jesus says, in that day, the apostles will eventually see that what these things that Jesus is talking about, it is no longer just mere figurative words. No. In Jesus, they transform into a divine promise. In Jesus, the eternal living word. And they will come to witness the reality of what Jesus is saying today. Jesus came from the Father and entered into the world. But now Jesus is leaving the world and going back to the Father. They come to understand Jesus as the living eternal word. In Jesus' words, these things that he's telling them is based on himself as the living divine word brought to them from the Father's world. Finally, they see it. Oh, Jesus into the Father's world. And this is what eventually will bring true peace to them. And also to us who receive and believe this word. Let's talk about peace. What is peace in this day and age? What is peace? We have seen what NATO and Russia, you know, has done to feel safe with expansion, to bring the peace that they see that they want. What is peace in this day and age? Both claims to be, oh, I'm doing this for security. They are just doing this to feel secure. I need to be secure. But we know that neither have brought peace on earth, and certainly not to the people of Ukraine. If you ask me, I just say they are just acting tough. And acting tough, brothers and sisters, is not a sign of strength, but of insecurity. They are just doing that because they feel insecure. And so I like what a commentator has said. He says, what is important for the West now is unity and strength. Not toughness, not acting tough, but strength. What is strength? You do not need to make a show of determination if you are really determined. No. What is strength? You just have to be who you are. I'm reminded of Jesus when I speak of strength, not toughness. Because Jesus knows who he is. I say this again. Jesus knows who he is. That is strength. And in time to come, on the third day after Easter, the apostles also know who he is. And in understanding the identity of Jesus, when they know who Jesus is, this made the apostles strong as well. Why? Because if they know who Jesus is, then they know who they are as well. As John said, they are now the children of God. And as the children of God, this is our strength. They just need to be who they are. Now, in this period of Lent, coincidentally, we know this is also a period, a moment of great darkness. None of us can see the daily videos from Ukraine and not feel this moment of great darkness. And I'm sure the early disciples, they must have felt the same when Jesus was captured and crucified. And in moments like this, I know, it must have felt like, you know, all that we believe about Jesus, you know, all these promises, all this gospel, really, are they just mere words? You know, or what we believe seems to be in vain because sin, darkness, death, it seems to be so overwhelming. But John chapter 1 tells us that the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. And the same word overcome is repeated by Jesus in our passage today. Take heart, brothers and sisters, take heart. I have overcome the world. The world has, and the darkness has not overcome the light. But the light, the word, is the one that has overcome the world. And the apostles realized that in 3 days after the cross. But I must say that in that moment, from crucifixion to resurrection, in those moments, the darkness must have felt incredibly long. I'm sure to the Ukrainians who are living in the bunkers with daily shelling, daily bombs, it must have felt incredibly long as well. Is it still possible to believe that Jesus has overcome the darkness? Jesus has overcome the world? What are you saying? In moments like this, in moments of great darkness, it is more likely that we'll feel afraid and we'll feel our faith waver. And I'm sure it's the same for the apostles in their moment of darkness. And Jesus said to them, "You really think you believe? You really think you understand? A moment is coming, and in fact has come, where you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will all leave me alone." But what did Jesus say? Jesus tells them, "I'm telling you these things. Yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me." Brothers and sisters, we are also not alone. No matter how dark it is, we are not alone. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, is with us. Jesus reminds us that whenever we feel alone, we can pray to God, our Heavenly Father, who loves us. And we can pray that in Jesus' name. Now, what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? You know, all Christians, every time we pray, we end with "in Jesus' name." What does it mean, "in Jesus' name"? I'd like to borrow, since I'm Presbyterians, I'd like to borrow from the words of John Calvin. John Calvin explained that he says that no man is worthy to come forward in his own name and appear in the presence of God. God, I am pastor of Jubilee Church. Wow, you think? No, nobody, no man, I don't care who you are, no man is worthy to come before God, the presence of God in his own name. No. But our Heavenly Father, who knows this, comes to relieve us from this fear and shame by giving us his Son, our Jesus Christ, our Lord, to be our advocate and our mediator. That when we know this, we can confide in him. Oh, yes, we can come before the Lord because Jesus is now our intercessor. We can come before the Lord without this fear and shame anymore because we know that nothing we ask in Jesus' name before the Lord, we know that nothing will be denied to us. Why? Because the Father will not deny anything to the Son. So we can ask everything in Jesus' name and we can feel no fear and shame because nothing will be denied to us because nothing, the Father will not deny it to the Son. This is what Calvin reminds us. And so this is why Jesus therefore enjoins his disciples, come, go before the Lord, pray in your name. You can ask anything in God's name. Ask anything before God in his name, especially after he has ascended to heaven. And this is what John Calvin says. Therefore, the more inexcusable we are, if we do not with both hands embrace this inestimable gift that is properly destined for us, that is given to us. I really like the word inexcusable. Yes, there's no excuse why we do not embrace this gift of prayer, embrace this wonderful grace that we can come before God and ask in Jesus' name. How can you not pray? How can you not embrace prayer? Inexcusable. Yes, I agree. Inexcusable. No, we embrace this beautiful gift that we can come before God in Jesus' name. Just one more thing to solve. Why did Jesus say that on that day when you will ask in my name, Jesus said, I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. We say, I thought Jesus is asking on our behalf. No, this line doesn't mean that Jesus does not intercede for us. Jesus do ask on our behalf. Jesus is our intercessor and our advocate. But why did Jesus say this line? Jesus is saying this line just in case some of us might think, oh, I do not need to pray because Jesus is praying for me already. You know, some people might think that. I do not need to pray. Jesus pray for me already. No. John Calvin reminds us, he's not just our advocate, he's not just our intercessor, but he's also our mediator. What does it mean? It means that therefore we can go to God directly with our prayers in Jesus' name. So we must pray. Even though Jesus prays, we too must pray. This is what it means. A person who prays is strong because he knows that God is listening and God is acting. A person who prays has peace, true peace, because he knows his worries, his struggles are all in God's hands. A person who prays will overcome troubles because he has faith in the word which is a world-transforming words. Do you believe? Do you believe that these words, these things that Jesus is telling us, this word, the word can create, can transform, can overcome? Do you believe? So today, let me be this bridge for you. To bring you to the Father's world, let me tell you that when the Father gave us his Son, it is a word with the power of life. Word with the power of life. And if we do, you know, really can put down all our earthly concerns, that we don't just, you know, hear what we want to hear, see what we want to see. If we can just put all these things down and truly hear and truly see, then you will see that, oh, yes, this word has the power of life. This word can grow. Not just in me, not just I believe this, but this word can grow in others as well, through you. This is the power, not just in you, but also in others, but through you. A word that can bring new life. Do you believe? New life to people's hearts, that hearts can be changed and transformed. New life to people's situation, that, you know, no matter what is the darkness, the emptiness, the lack of life, it can be transformed into light and life. New life into broken relationships, that no matter how bad it is, it can be restored, it can be reconciled. Do you believe? I believe. I believe in the power of the word, a word that will bring life. Maybe this is a word that can be planted in a child today, in the children ministry. A word that he hears from one of the teachers in the children ministry. But this word, because it's planted in this child, one day this child will transform the world. Maybe it's a word that can be planted in a neighbor in your life. One where you share the word with through one of the 幸福小组. Darkness will not overcome this world. Darkness will not overcome the word. But it is the word that will overcome darkness and overcome the world. Do you really believe? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we pray that, Lord, your Spirit be amongst us. Your Spirit that speaks to us right now. Brothers and sisters, I want to spend some time, a moment, where you are before the living word. Do you open your ears to hear? Do you open your eyes to see? Let this word speak to you, to be revealed in you, so that God can speak to you. If this word is knocking on your door, do you open this door to let the word in, so that the word may grow in you? If you are willing, you say to God yourself, God, I let you in. Speak to me. Let me see. And if you are willing to be a vessel for this word, to be a witness to the truth, to speak this word, then you say to God, God, here I am. Send me. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you because you love us so much that you let us know you. That your word can be our life, can be our light in moments of darkness. Your word can transform and bring beauty and love into this world. Lord, we thank you because you love us. And we want to entrust ourselves to you, whether it's our lives, whether it's our relationship, whether it's our ministry that we will serve. Lord, we give ourselves to you. And all this we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us respond to God's word with offering. You can...